us as we pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for an opportunity to be in your presence tonight. We have come to your table one more time. Lord, help us to be as one who has found grace pours out of your word. Let your word liberate us. Let your words make us alive. Let the quickening power that is in your word be evident in every life that will be listening in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Lord, tonight, we want to hear your word. We ask that faith will come to us. Your faith will come to us. Our lives will not remain the same, because we'll be transformed. The quickness of your word will quicken our inner man, our soul, our spirit, and our body. We will be new anew. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. And the people of God will say, Amen.
Amen.
By the grace of God, tonight is what? Can you say after me loud and clear? Say, I am becoming.
I am becoming.
The image and the likeness of Christ. As it was intended in the beginning.
As it was intended in the beginning.
Say again, I am becoming. What God intended for me.
What is intended for me?
Right from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Be an image and the likeness of Christ. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. Alright, please your pen and paper. And please write down as much as possible. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27 says, it shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Yes. I read again Acts 19 from verse 11 to 13. I will be very fast about that. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Cephas, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? Then the man in whom evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became the known both of all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I tell you what I want to discuss with us today: the power of the anointing. The power of the anointing. The scripture we read establish it. It said God anointed Jesus. The anointing was on Jesus. The anointing was on Paul. Even witches and wizards confessed it, that the anointing was on him. Then what is this, the anointing I'm talking about? The anointing is the yoke breaking power of God. Body lifting power of God. The anointing is the performing hand of God. It is the divine energy and the energizer.
That's why Elijah was able to outrun the chariots of the king. I declare over your life this evening, if your amen can rent the heavens, the anointing will come upon you, and you will outrun your equals in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
It is the blazing fire of the Holy Spirit. It replaces inability with ability. It could be residual on a thing or a person. It makes spiritual work easy. No wonder the Matthew 11:29-30. He said, take my yoke upon you. For it is what? It is easy. My burden is light. When it comes on you, there is an ease. I declare ease over your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
In the healing in the river Jordan, the anointing came upon the river. That was why Naaman was healed. The rod that was used to strike the rock by Moses, the anointing came upon it. That was why the river gushed. The striking of the river by Elisha, where he screamed, where is the Lord God of Elisha? It was because the anointing had fell on the mantle and it struck the rivers and it parted way. Tonight, it's an exceptional, and we call it over here the anointing service. Yes, you may be wondering, we were not told to bring oil, to bring any elements of any form. But I want to let you know that it is beyond the elements. I'll talk about that as we go on this evening. But let me just make you understand what the anointing really can do. The anointing is the empowering for service. So if the anointing has not fallen on a person, serving will not be easy. But when the anointing comes upon you, serving becomes so easy. The anointing is to be rubbed or smeared into a person by the Holy Spirit. It's the heavenly lubricant. That is why if you read Isaiah 10 verse 27, what does it say? The Lord of Hosts says, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. If you read from another version, you realize that they talked about it. He said you will get fattened. That the yoke will break off your neck. Because you become too fat for your neck to hold the yoke. Amen. I said somebody will be fed fat by the word of the Lord tonight in the name of Jesus. That every yoke upon your neck will break in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The anointing removes dryness and refreshes a man. It turns man from slavery to king. That is why no wonder in the Old Testament, anytime they want to identify a king, what do? They anoint him. They pour oil on him. That is the symbol of saying you are now converted from a man. You are now become king. Amen and amen.
Amen.
What else can the anointing do? The anointing can protect. 1 Chronicles 16:21-22 says, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake.
Saying,
do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophet no harm. The anointing cannot be substituted with programs or skills. It has no respect for age or position. The anointing talks about announcements. When the anointing comes upon a person, he announces you. I can't go into giving several examples of how God when Jesus was speaking in Luke 4:18, he said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ear. What is the scripture that was fulfilled in the air? That he has been anointed. He has been empowered against every demonic forces of the time. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. The power of the anointing will come upon you.
Amen.
And you will have power against every creeping things as God has ordained right from the beginning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The anointing helps you to recognize and defeat your enemy. The anointing is the fountain of supernatural power. It is not skill, it is not talent, it's not gotten by training or schooling. It's God's power for sweatless and sweet results. It's God's power upon you, which enables you to get sweet, sweatless, sweet results. It's the power and reign of power. In addition to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has a place in you to energize great results. Now, let me quickly lay foundations of this. There are three forms of relationship that we have with God, that we maintain with God. These three forms of relationship, in one way or the other, explains what this anointing is. Number one, if you're writing, God is for us. What do I mean when I say God is for us? I simply mean that God is on my side. You read Psalm 118 verse 6, Psalm 56 by 9, Romans 8:31, Psalm 124 verse 1 to 2, all the scriptures I'm giving us so we can write it now. Romans 8:31 says that if God be for us, who can be against us? That was about God being for us. All right, Psalm 118 verse 6. Psalm 118 verse 6. Psalm 56 verse 9. Romans 8:31. Psalm 124 verse 1 and 2. Let's read Psalm 124 verse 1 and 2 together. Psalm 124. Are we there? Verse 1 and 2. Okay. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. When men rose up against us. You see that God has been on your side and he has empowered you against. Now let's go to number two. Number two ways that we are related to God. God is with us. Number one, I said God is for us, meaning that God is on my side. That is why if God be for me, who can be against me? That is why I can say, God is for me. Number two is God is with me. Let's read Matthew 1:23. Talking about the angel. That was what the angel was saying. He said he will be called Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. Psalm 46 verse 7 also talks about God being with us. Psalm 46 is loaded with explaining about God being with us. You see verse 7. Psalm 46 verse 7, Psalm 46 verse 10, and even verse 11 shows that God is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If you go to verse 10 also, he says the same thing. Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God is with us. Then the last one, number three, God is in us. Number one, I said God is for us. Number two is God is with us. And number three, God is in us. If you look at it very clearly, as you're following in this teaching tonight, you realize that God is for us explains our position in the Trinity of God the Father is always on our side. God is for us. God is on my side. God the Father. Now, God with us, that number two, God with us shows us that what? Jesus stands for God with us. Isaiah 8, 9 to 10, when the promise was said and prophesied, prophet Isaiah, he said, unto us a child is born and all that. And he was telling you that he will be called Emmanuel. For what? God is with us. That was talking about Jesus. And number three, we said God is now what? In us. That speaks of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned Isaiah 8. 9 to 10, that's talking about giving the scriptures for God with us. Psalm 41 verse 10 also gives us clarity about that. Now you get the three foundations I've laid now. God the Father, God is for us, God with us, God the Son, that's Jesus Christ, God is in us, that is what? The Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit is greater than the anointing. Yes, the Holy Spirit is bigger than the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the person that releases the anointing, as Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Do you get what I just explained just now? This is still our TSA, O-level TSA. Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. So immediately you give your life to Christ, what happens? You are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit now has an indwelling in you. That's why the scripture says in Revelation 3:20, it says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears me and opens the door of his heart, what will I do? I will come in and I will dwell with him and I will sup with him. That's what the NKJV says. I hope we're getting that now. So it is Christ who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, but it is the Holy Spirit as a person that releases the anointing upon us. Now, let me just give a quick foundation also about this anointing I'm talking about. When they talk about the anointing oil, you're talking about the olive oil. The olive oil, there are three ways the olive oil can be gotten. The olive oil can be gotten by pressing. The olive oil can be gotten by crushing. And the olive oil can be gotten by beating. If you get those three again. The olive oil can be gotten by pressing. The olive oil can be gotten by crushing. The olive oil can be gotten by beating. And you know the funny thing about all these three? The purest form of the olive oil that is used in anointing men of old is the one that is beaten. Time will not permit me to explain details of how that plays out in our lives. By pressing, by crushing, and by beating. Amen. The purest form of oil is by beating. The oil was the article used to symbolize the anointing. So when I say to anoint, it means to smear. It means to rub on. It means to pour lavishly, pouring upon, pouring over. No wonder the book of Joel 2, chapter 28, he said, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So, it is a plan of God that the anointing should be lavish. Let me say this to someone who is listening to me tonight. Listen, there is abundance in God. So, stop depending on men. Yes, God can use men. God always uses men. But there is much more. There is abundance in God. Stop limiting yourself with the thoughts of men, with the description of men, with the prescriptions of men. In God, there is what? Abundance. Because when God tries to anoint his own, he pours it lavishly. It is required for our usefulness. Why do I need the anointing oil? It's for my usefulness. It is for my importance. To be able to resist Satan and be able to be ensuring my life against weapons of the dark world. It is a protective cover. The anointing shields you from all evil. The anointing is required for a survival in this terrible world that we find ourselves. And in this time. It's required for our healing. That's why he said, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Let them anoint him and lay in of hand upon him. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Recovery from every deep wound, it is the anointing. Amen. Now, I decided to go all through all this because I want you to understand something. That the anointing is not meant for pastors alone. The anointing is not meant for bishops. The anointing is not meant for those who are only serving on the pulpits. The anointing is required by everyone that is walking upon the face of the earth that has been named with the name of God. That's why tonight I want to zero in on telling you this. You are anointed. I thought somebody would say a big amen to that. I am anointed.
You
say that to yourself very loud and clear. Say, I am anointed.
I'm anointed.
No matter what the devil may say, no matter what they think, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
All right. Let me just show you 7 things to show you your position that you are anointed. And I want you to hold your head high all through this month, all through the remaining days of your life, saying it to yourself, I am anointed. I want to give you 7 evidences
that
you are
anointed.
So no need of running helter-skelter, looking for help, looking for one anointing of someone or one thing or the other. Say, that man is anointed somewhere there. That one is anointed uphill. That one is anointed down the river there. There is no need for all that. You are anointed. Let me show you two
points.
Amen. So based on knowledge, and you know knowledge is strength. Knowledge is strength. So if you get knowledge, like you're getting tonight, you have the strength and you know your identity in Christ. That is why I'm going to be sharing this. So number one, how do I know that you are anointed? Number one, it is God's original plan for me and you to be anointed. Genesis 2:7. Let's read Genesis 2:7 together. Number one is that God's original plan for us all was to be anointed. Give me Genesis 2:7. So you see what I'm talking about there. And the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. And man became a living being. So we were just mere dust until the anointing came upon us. The anointing I'm referring to is the breath of God. That is why if you remember in the book of John, in the latter chapter of John, you realize that when Jesus appeared to them and the disciples said, called him Lord, called him their Lord God. And the Bible says, and he breathed unto them. And he says, receive. That was the anointing was releasing upon them. It was the breath of God is the anointing that we're referring to. Number two evidence. So that means that the original plan for God for our life was for us to be what? Anointed. So raise your head high and say, I am anointed.
I am
declare it to yourself.
Anointed.
Carry the breath.
I am anointed.
I am anointed. Amen.
I am anointed.
Amen. So let's go to number two reason. Number two reason why I say you are anointed. Why I am declaring that I am anointed. Number two. The word of God says I am anointed. I love this. The word of God just says it. And that settles it. I am anointed. Let's look at it from 1 John
2. I am anointed.
You know, one of our tenets says that we believe in the word of God, the Bible. Anything that the Bible says is final. Can you see it from the Bible there? It says, but you have an anointing. Where did the anointing come from? From the Holy One. And you know all things. You have an anointing. Let's look at it from the NLT. So you get what I'm talking about. NLT version says, but you are not like that. So stop comparing yourself. For the Holy One has given you his spirit. And all of you know the truth. So what is the truth that I'm telling you tonight? You are anointed. Give me Psalm 20:6. Psalm 20:6. I am anointed. Are we there?
I am anointed.
Right.
Now I know that the Lord rescues his anointed king. He will answer him from his holy heaven and rescue him by his great power. NKJV, please. Let's read from NKJV. To tell you that I'm anointed. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. So for the fact that you are still living, drawing the bread of life, I know you are anointed because he has saved you. He will answer him from his heaven. He answers your prayer. He will save you with his right hand of strength. That is the word of the Lord for you this
morning.
Amen and amen. Psalm 105 verse 14 and 15. Psalm 105 verse 14 and 15. Are we there?
Touch not my anointed.
He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes! He rebuked kings for their sakes. Verse 15. Can we read it clear? Said, Do not touch my anointed and do my prophet. That is why I speak to everyone under the sound of my voice. By the power in the blood of Jesus, by the anointing of Christ that is upon your life, no evil comes near your dwelling place in this Ember month in the name of Jesus. You are preserved in your going out. You are preserved in your coming in. Nothing will have any hold over your life.
Amen.
Let's go to number three. Why do I say that you are anointed? Why do I say I am anointed? Number three. If I ask you a very simple question here tonight, say, who are you? I will answer, I will say, I'm what? I am a Christian. I will answer saying what? I am a Christian. If you go back to Acts 11:26, where they first refer to them as Christ, as Christians, you see the meaning there. It means Christ, meaning in the anointed one. Look at it in Acts 11:36. He said, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. I like the Amplified. He explains it there, telling us that what? They call them little Christ. They call them little Christ. Amen. So you are anointed because you are a Christian. And because Christ, we call him Jesus Christ. Any other person can bear the name Jesus, but there's a difference in the Jesus we serve. It's called Jesus Christ, meaning the Jesus that is anointed.
The anointed.
So the anointed one. I am the anointed one. Amen and amen. Let's go to number four. Number four, the anointing. I said the anointing is the seal of my salvation. You know, in the conversation Jesus made, I usually like this scripture so much. Those who know me and listen to me know I always refer to this scripture. John chapter 4. You find where Jesus was discussing with the woman at the well. He said two things. He said, first, out of your belly will flow rivers. But the first thing that must be done is that most of the time, rivers, for them to flow, they flow from wells. So the well is first dug. And what is the well that will be first dug? Is the well of your salvation. So when the well of salvation is dug and the Holy Spirit is bubbling inside of you, then you now have the Holy Spirit poured upon you. Amen. Let's see from 2 Corinthians 1:21. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21, please. Are you following? Number 4, the anointing is the seal of my salvation. 2 Corinthians 1:21. I'm going to read 21 and 22. It says, now he who established us with you in Christ has anointed us. Oh my God, I'm excited tonight that I am anointed. Has anointed us.
I am anointed.
Is God. Who has anointed you? God. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. So what is my seal to salvation? The guarantee that I have salvation, is that what? I am anointed. So no more threats. That's why he kept telling Joshua, be courageous, be bold,
Why? Because you are anointed. Enough of being timid in your office. Tell yourself when you sit on the desk in the morning, I am anointed. I'm not afraid of any boss. I'm not afraid of any gimmick by any politician in the office. Why? I am anointed. The Lord has issued his command that touch not my anointed. There is a seal of my salvation that I am anointed. Amen.
Amen.
Number five. Why do I say that you are anointed? Number five. Because of the work God wants me to do. That's one of the beauty of being anointed. Most times, the bottom line of being anointed is for service. So that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What will the rivers of living water do? It will quench the thirst of all those who come to the stream of your life. So why do I say you're anointed? Because of the work God wants you to do. So as you sit to do any work you do, you transact business, you attend any interview, you go anywhere, have it at the back of your mind that you are anointed. And the way you will do your own work is different from the way others will do it. Why? Because you are anointed to do that work. I'll give you a very funny example here. Those who have had a course to encounter me, because I am a teacher, I teach in a school. Interestingly, children who have one deficiency or the other, who struggle in one aspect of their work, those are the children that they deliberately pass them to me. Why do they deliberately pass them to me? They have seen over time that, just don't worry, let your child go to Mr. Adioton's room. Between the following few months, you will see a change in his life. Why is that so? Because I am anointed to do my work. Because God wants me to manifest in the marketplace. That is why he has what? Anointed me. So wherever you find yourself, no matter the trade, no matter what you do, know of a truth that you are anointed for that work. And there's an extraordinary excellence coming upon you in the name of Jesus. The Bible has a record of Daniel.
Amen.
Talking about Daniel, he said the spirit of excellence, that was the anointing. He was even above the king of the land. That was him. That was the anointing. And I pray that the anointing will rest upon you in the name of Jesus. If you want to write a scripture to number 5, you can write down John 17 verse 18. You want to write down John 17 verse 18. But I'd like us to read that John 17 verse 18 together. So you see that why I'm anointed. Say, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. That's why if you read Matthew 4:1, you say he gave them power against. Because he was sending us forth into the world. So he anointed us and gave us the power to be able to do work. Amen. Number 6, reason why I say you are anointed. Because you are anointed. Because of the position I occupy. Oh my God. Because of the position I occupy. I occupy 3 positions in this dispensation. Number 1, I occupy the position of a king. You occupy the position of a priest. That's number 2. And you occupy the position of a what? Of a prophet. All these 3 positions in the Old Testament, before you can be identified as any of these 3, you must have been poured oil, the real element, that tangible element that all of us can hold. They will pour oil lavishly over the person as a king, as a priest, and as a prophet. They pour oil over them. But interestingly, Christ Jesus, I am in Christ, and in him, the whole heavenly body, we are joined in one. He is the head and we are the body. His church is the body. If Christ is anointed, the body too is anointed. No wonder the scripture says how lovely it is for the peace
brethren to dwell in unity. He said it's like when oil runs from the head down the beard, even to the skirts. So that means when the head is anointed, what happens to the body? It's also anointed. You are a king, you are a priest, and you are a prophet. And that's the new order I see for a Christian. That is why I say you are anointed. And lastly, like I was saying, I am a member of the body of Christ. That's number 7. I am a member of the body of Christ. If my head, which is Christ, is the anointed one, how much more about me? Who is the body? Look at it in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. I'd like you to see something in Isaiah 9 6. It's a popular scripture. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Can you read the next line, please, together? And the government will be upon his shoulder. Did you get what that means? If the head has been anointed, he said the government will be upon his shoulder. What does that tell you, my sister? It means that the anointing is upon the shoulder too. And I'm his shoulder. I am the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I know many of us will now ask the question, hey, if you say I am anointed, then why am I not manifesting in this anointing? Why is it not evidence in my life? Why do all those little things still bug me, still hold me down, still puts me under pressure? And that's why I'm going to be explaining something to you as I round up now. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 7 verse 37. Jesus was speaking there at the banquet. He said, if anyone thirsts, I'd like you to open John chapter 7 verse 37. There are 5 things that you are required. And I'm going to show you those 5 things quickly. I'm going to run because of my time now. I have eaten much into the time now. You see, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, he did not say if pastor thirsts, if anyone thirsts. So who is the anointing for? The anointing is for everybody. It's for anyone. Joel 2 also explains it. Are you a slave? Are you a male? Are you a female? Are you a king? Are you a priest? Whatever is your position, go and look at it in Joel 2:28. You will see that you were mentioned there. He said he will pour out his anointing upon you. He will pour his spirit upon you. You will manifest God wherever you find yourself. What do you need to do first? Is to thirst. So I have to thirst. Since the anointing is for everyone, I have to thirst. I need to have an earnest desire for this fresh unction of the Holy Spirit. Number three now. You need to thirst like Zacchaeus, who went to climb the sycamore tree. And the Bible says in Matthew 5, he said, they that thirst after righteousness, he said, they shall be what? They shall be filled. Amen. Thirst. How do you thirst? You know, the Bible says the word of God is like water. So what do you thirst? Thirst after reading the word. Number three, yield yourself to God. Look at it. If anyone thirsts, let him come. You are the one to come. Yield yourself. Yield yourself. Just like the horse that is taken to the stream. Yield yourself. Be willing for this anointing to find full expression in you. Yield yourself to God to get this fresh anointing. Total surrender. Be willing and obedient so that you can eat the good of the land. Amen. Number four. We need to come to Jesus, not the man of God. Focus on Jesus. Let him come to me. Not me, oh, that is speaking to you right now. Come to who? Who was speaking? I hope in your Bible that scripture is in red. Telling you that it's the very words of Jesus. If anyone thirsts, let him come to Jesus. So what do? Come to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Say he will lead you beside still waters. Focus on Jesus, not man. There is abundance in God. The anointing has no limits. Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, you will begin to go about and begin to do good. The last but not the least is to drink. Amen. Let him come to me and drink. So now that you just get to the river, just like we are in the river tonight, and you are saying, I am anointed. I am anointed. But it's time for you to drink. How do you drink? Absorb and take in the presence of God. Let's look at it from Ephesians 5:17. Absorb the atmosphere. Open up yourself and absorb God's infilling of the Holy Spirit tonight. How do you do that? Let's see it from Ephesians 5:17. Are you there? It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord for you tonight? Is that you should drink from the well. Absorb. Take in the presence of God. As we begin to go into prayers right now, I need you to just open your mouth wide, because he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I want to speak to you tonight that as you begin to speak now, I want you to begin to speak the unction of the Holy Ghost, because the unction of the Holy Ghost is in you and is also upon you. Open your mouth and begin to speak in the heavenly language. That is what stirs up the drink. That is what absorbs the presence. Connect to heaven. Maybe you are still at the level of justice. Just open your mouth to heaven and say, Lord, I passed for the infilling of the fresh oil. For the infilling of the fresh Holy Ghost, of the power of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, let it flow from you tonight. Let it flow from you tonight. And you yourself, don't struggle with Holy Spirit. It will speak through you. It will speak through you. Out of your belly will flow. Out of your belly will flow. Out of your belly will flow. La Brahmane Kosoto out of your belly will spring living joy, the joy in the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Depression has no place in you anymore. If you can tear up the Holy Ghost in you, depression has no place in you. If imagination has no hold over your life anymore, begin to tear it up. Tear it up. Tear it up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight.
I am anointed. I have
the promise. From the beginning to the end, he still remains God. There is nothing too hard for you to do. In God that is abundant, in the God of abundance, we connect with our universe. You will move on. Fresh unction. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed.